Hey everybody, welcome to Black Hollywood Live. This is the Get Down After Show, and we're so excited for you to be here. Tell us what you think in the comments, hit us up on iTunes. We're starting now. Oh my goodness. This girl has pipes, guys.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Such amazing thrills. So excited to be here. You guys, we're going to talk about the pilot of The Get Down today. I want to know your thoughts. We're live now on YouTube. You can always hit us up on iTunes or on Twitter. My name's Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. This is my lovely panel.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sheldon White. You can find me on all social media at Sheldon White, too, and I am super excited to be here.
I'm Heather Yared. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Heather Yared.
And I'm Tori Devon Smith. You can catch me on Instagram at Tori Devon Smith. You can catch me on Twitter at Tori Devon Smith.
You guys, Tori Devon Smith is in the house! How exciting is this?
Little wolf.
Little wolf. Little wolf. I love Booth. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Us today.
Oh God, thank you so much for having me.
How has the reaction from fans been?
Oh, the reaction has been really, really fantastic. I mean, everyone knows about it, and I've gotten so many messages on my Facebook, and I've gotten messages on my phone from family and friends, so it's been really, really fantastic.
So, I know you saw the pilot at a preview beforehand, and you were telling us before we got on air that you got to sit next to Devon Diggs.
I did.
David Diggs.
David Diggs. Yeah, I went to the premiere on Friday in New York. And I got to sit next to him and watch the pilot.
So exciting.
It was really, really great. I was just like, oh my God, he just won a Tony.
He's right there. I also want to say welcome to Hamilton fans, because I'm sure there are so many of you out there. I am a Hamilton fan. You guys do the Hamilton thing? You guys into it?
Maybe. I haven't seen it, but I've heard some of the music.
It's okay.
And it's awesome.
I will speak in just Hamilton terms the whole time to confuse the panel, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's changing sort of, you know, Broadway in a way. And I actually have a really great friend named Voltaire who's in it. We grew up together in Bakersfield.
That's so amazing.
He's an assistant choreographer. That's awesome. That's what Davey told me. And I was like, oh my God, Voltaire. So I'm uber proud of him.
And I know you guys shot in New York, and I hear that there's a lot of Hamilton cast kind of floated over.
I actually had no clue. I was only sort of concentrated with what I had. So I'm so excited to see their performances. So much of it I haven't seen yet.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. I really enjoyed the pilot. Before we kind of get into the story, I want to ask you guys, I don't know if you guys have seen Coolie High, but it's like a quintessential hip-hop film. And one of the questions I start out the movie with is, when did you first fall in love with hip-hop? And I was reminded of that question as I was watching this. I first fell in love with hip-hop in junior high when somebody gave me Nas's Illmatic, and I was like, what is happening? This is such a good album. And then slowly I got into Biggie and Tupac, and then Lauryn Hill and More Conscious Rap with Common and stuff, and now I'm at, like, I'm really into Chance the Rapper, and Anderson .Paak is having a huge impact on my life right now.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you guys listen to No Name Gypsy, her new album, Telephone, just dropped. It is on SoundCloud, and it's amazing. I'll promote it everywhere I go. She's Chicago and wonderful. When did you guys fall in love with hip-hop?
Let's see. When I was growing up, my dad and my mom actually were kind of like, we want you to listen to Motown. Like, they didn't really let me listen to hip-hop for
awesome
a while.
Awesome parents.
I know,
awesome
right?
Parents.
And then
get
eventually I heard Yeah by Usher, and that was actually like my first hip-hop song that I totally like just loved. Absolutely, yeah.
Grandmaster Flash. I'm hands down a fan. Absolutely. The Message, please. The Message. And then when I reheard it in 97, when like Diddy redid it, I've been a fan the whole time. I was born with it. I think my mother put it on the womb.
Yeah.
And I know like Earth, Wind, and Fire isn't considered hip hop, but like all the way back to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Well, yeah.
R&B Soul started
They sampled from most of those artists. My first experience, I fell in love with hip hop was when I was, I snuck a tape from my foster sister, and it was Dr. Dre's The Chronic.
Yeah,
I had a cassette tape, and I listened to it on my radio, and I didn't understand it. I was really, really young back then, and I just heard all of these inappropriate things happening. I think somebody was orgasming, but I didn't understand why, but I was so intrigued. And I thought, God, he sounds so dangerous.
That's like doggy style with Snoop. So I used to listen. Like, if I was angry, I would get my ear down to the, like, down to the speaker, and Snoop would just do it. Doggy style. There's someone peeing the back of the juice. I was like, oh, okay, this is great.
Yes. All the naughty things. The song and Yeah are the first, like, very dirty, like, raps I was doing. I was like, oh, this is so wrong. It's filthy, but I love it.
Yeah.
Great, so we know, we're kind of diving into the origins of hip-hop in the Get Down, and I guess I want to start, let's start with our main crew, with the guys. So we have Zeke, Boo Boo, Dizzy, and Rara, who first of all, these young actors are so talented. There's so many Jaden Smith doubters out there, and after this, I'm going to be like, say something! Say something, because I really, really like his character, great. Dizzy. He's so, like...
so great.
I will stand and rep weird black kids for my whole entire life. Like, bring on the nerds. Like, even Ra-Ra with his comic collection. Like, I collect comic books, and I was like, I'm really feeling this, like, very cool, nerdy, like... avant-garde weird black kids, like when he's prophesizing in the train station, and the guy's like, he's weird.
Well, Jada's like that anyway. If you remember, like, Will and Jada got heat a while back because they were talking a lot of esoteric and, like, hermetic philosophies very early on. So I thought that this aligned with his character very much in this.
Very
I was like,
so.
Oh, maybe that's why he got it, because they are very deep, and he is very deep. Like, time is an illusion. It is. And he was rapping all that stuff in this. So I thought it was a perfect alignment for him.
To watch them perform these roles, it was quite seamless. You know, it was sort of effortless the way that they performed it. And I found that to be wonderful.
Yeah. And I think it's really great. We don't get a lot of carefree black kids on TV. And to see these kids, like, just seeing their world from their perspective. I know Baz Luhrmann has been getting a lot of heat for wanting to tell this story in particular. Yeah. People, I made that exact same thing that I was reading. People were like, I don't understand. Like, we need, like, black people to tell black people's stories. It's like, well, look. The story wouldn't have gotten made if Baz Luhrmann hadn't been like, you know what? This is a story that needs to be told. So he brought it to the table, and then he hired just people who were actively within the community.
Yeah,
like,
he had a team of people that knew what he might not know.
Including Grandmaster Flash, like, who was like, yes. And then he hired Nas to make the raps, and then he hired playwrights who specifically work on urban black plays. It's a very black show. I really appreciate it. I think it's incredibly authentic and beautifully done, so... High props and praise to Baz Luhrmann.
Well, he does musicals, so that's like his thing.
Yeah.
Black, white, yellow, purple, I feel like that's his thing. No?
Yeah, and I think people forget, because we live in the sensitive time and era where, you know, people are trying to dictate how art should be sort of performed. They don't realize art is a community.
Absolutely.
It's a community of a lot of different people. No one does it alone. And so for me, for Baz to take over this project, I thought that makes complete sense.
For sure.
He's a very ingenious director. He's going to get the help that he needs.
And when you do the research on what the time, the effort, and the research he really put into making sure that this was right and making sure that the story was theirs, I wanted to ask you guys, how did you feel about those collage documentary kind of inserts in between the transitions from scene to scene? I really liked it. I thought they resonated very well.
I feel like it set the tone. It let you... I didn't know much about the Bronx in that time period, and it brought me to there, you know? And it seemed like it was it real footage? It looked like real footage.
I believe it was a mixture.
It was real.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was real.
It
absolutely,
just set the tone for everything. So I thought it was very effective.
Yeah, you need exposition to tell the story. And we need to look back and see an example, and I thought that was important.
And to know that it was real. Like, this is, like, the look and feel. Like, I could easily see people being like, oh, this is so exaggerated, how torn down it is, and buildings are just always burning. I'm like, no, this is time period accurate, and it's done so well, and I really like the way they use newsreels to show, like, that's so far outside of the Bronx perspective. Like, the Bronx is just trying to take care of itself in this time period, and then Manhattan, even in the shot at the beginning when they're like, here's Manhattan, and then all the way over here we have the Bronx. It's a completely different world, even though they're both in New York. I really like the way they set up the show. And then we come in on Zeke, who is one of my favorite characters in a long time. Like, he's very sweet, but has, like, confidence, but is kind of scared to show it off. To hear him rapping in the kitchen, and such Baz Luhrmann does love so well. How did that rap first hit you guys?
His first rap in the kitchen, what was the line? You sound
you sing,
like
it feels
red,
like red velvet.
It feels like red velvet. Yeah. Like, what a line. And it coming from this kid. It just, I don't know, I loved it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, the love, everything was based off love. His heart in this, his intensity, everything he did was love. We were talking about that earlier. Like,
absolutely.
That started it. I really was impressed, though, in the classroom. So when he hit the classroom and he had that by memory and he did that was
such
it.
Such a powerful
That was the first magical moment for me when I saw the pilot. And I think Justice Smith, who plays this role, is so Fantastically grounded.
It was
and that's
amazing.
What brings the truth Absolutely. Out of it. He's so good in this.
The lack of... it's so easy to, I think, overact that moment and to be just so in it. And his face barely moves. But it's so... The reaction from Ms. Green... And then it just, I watched it twice, and the first time I was like, oh yeah, this is really moving, and I cry easily, so I was expecting, but the second time, it got me again, and I was like, I knew it was coming, I'm still, like,
chills.
In commotion. Like, it was so perfect, and a great way, I think, to introduce his backstory.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, Mom, don't worry about your son, because I'm the one. Like, and he even, like, yeah. got choked up a little bit, because which showed he was nervous to be the one, but that was it. I got chills both times. That did it for me, too.
Yeah. yeah.
And his character is so interesting, because he has so many walls up. He's so guarded, and it was really cool to see Miss Green, who I loved that character.
Yolanda Ross is an incredibly talented actress, and I hope we see so
me
much more
too,
of her.
Me too, because she just kind of broke him down until he took, the walls were gone, and he was able to... show his art.
Even
you know?
When he was like, I hurt my back, I can't go. She's like, don't worry, I'll come to you. I was like, look at this teacher. You don't mess with Ms. Green. Ms. Green's classes are no best place. I really enjoyed that whole moment. And then after we get Zeke kind of doing his raps in the kitchen, before we get to the school scene, we meet, y'all, help me say your name. Melina?
Mylene.
Thank
Mylene.
You.
Mylene. Yeah.
And girl can blow, first of all. She already talked about the top of the show, Be That As It May, which is my favorite song from the pilot episode. But Mylene's got some issues of her own that she's dealing with. She's in this house with her father, Giancarlo Esposito, who's one of my favorite actors of all time, and I was so excited to hear that he was going to be in the show. And then to have him as a religious zealot who is really trying to reel his, not a wild child, but he kind of perceives her that way. What did you guys think of their relationship?
I thought it was typical of, like, a very hardcore family. Every yeah. time you have a family where one of the parents is very, like, they hover over them and they don't want them to turn into this bad kid, to me that looked typical. It actually reminded me of my upbringing. Not as intense from a religious perspective, but that whole, like, we will beat the whore out of you, like, yes. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Like, so I mean, that was pretty normal. Like, and I thought it hit. It resonated.
And how women couldn't be as expressive as they could be. You know, when you think about the time now, women can be much more. That's what we're fighting for.
Yeah, this is pre-Madonna.
You know what I mean? I always mm-hmm. tell women, like, Madonna is rather important what she
Gosh,
did. She
yes.
pushed the sexual agenda and said mm-hmm. women can do anything sexually. You know, they can express themselves however
and
they
I'm
want.
And I'm not going to be demure about it. I'm going to be completely in your face. And
as a man
and
can be.
Can do about
yes.
it.
As
yes.
a man can be.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's interesting, too, because her dad... He almost came across, it was hard to watch some of the scenes, but at the same time, it was clear that that was coming from his love for his daughter, and he was trying to protect her, and this is how he knew how to do that, and I thought it was just really fascinating to watch.
I really like the delicate play of Giancarlo's acting, like, you're right, it didn't go too mm-hmm. far, you definitely felt the love, but also, yeah, I was convinced he would, like, if his wife hadn't been there, he would have just kept
yeah.
wailing
Scary.
On her. It was incredible. I want to talk about her friends now, Yolanda and Regina, who
yeah.
were one of my favorite Woo! Parents from it. They are so much, like, too much fun, almost. When Regina's like, girl, you look almost as good as me, I was like, well, okay, there it is.
How old are they? Oh, yeah. That's what I couldn't figure out.
Yeah,
well,
I think
they're
sophomores young teenagers.
In high school, so they're
yeah.
about okay. 15, 16.
I mean, because she's yeah. talking about having dick in her and everything like that.
You know what?
Yours from the Hojo.
Yeah. Because, you know, Regina's sort of my girlfriend in the show, played by Shirley Rodriguez, and then there's Stephanie Martin, who plays Yolanda. And I had no clue, because I was watching other scenes that they did in later episodes. I didn't know that they were that dirty. Regina was like, look at my pussy.
Yes.
Like, oh, my God. I'm a mother. How dare you say that to me? I was so impressed how free they were.
Yes.
I was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you guys were dirty.
they were wild and had great comedic timing, mm-hmm. and I can always appreciate when women are portrayed as women, and, like, I don't really have time for these silly boys, and I'm out making my own agendas, and we're gonna be friends together, but we be dirty together. Like, ladies
dirty.
Are often,
we can do
yeah,
what we want.
Yeah, we'll curse. It's totally fine. I love those girls, and I hope we get a lot more of them.
I thought it was identical how they got into the club. It truly reminded me of, like, this day and age. So it's like they were like, oh,
yeah.
hey, I know a little of this black boy, and let us in. And then, boom, they look at you, and you're in. I mean, that
yeah.
was it. I thought that made me feel good. I was like, all right, here we go.
Well, now that we're there, let's talk about those party scenes. So I've been reading from cast and different reaction about filming those scenes, and they
yeah.
said they were actually. A party. Is that true?
Absolutely. I remember actually Yaya, who plays Cadillac, mm-hmm. there was a moment where he was doing a solo But we didn't stop filming. And he kept going. And every extra, all of us, kept just moving on with him. And then it turned where he stopped, and then we all just randomly, without any sort of direction, we all just came together and started hustling. It was really, really, it was almost like this great crescendo, this great resolution. And I don't know if that sort of made it on film, but it was a magical moment, I remember.
It definitely has the atmosphere of a party that I think a lot of filmings of parties don't really articulate, in that there was constant motion, and it never felt like, you never got the sense of like somebody was going, action, okay, and now we kind of dance in the background. Yeah. Like, it felt like people were having a good time. I'm watching some of the extras in the background, and they're laughing hysterically, and I'm like, this is like an actual party. People are really enjoying themselves. What was it like watching Yaya dance? I have to tell you, that was one of my favorite parts of that scene. He's so enigmatic as he's like hustling down the line. And
to see him under the lights and the disco ball was just so fantastic. And Yaya, who is just so, so wonderful and such a fantastic actor, was so great to work with. He actually taught me a lot in terms of how to sort of analyze a script and everything like that. So to watch him shine was just magical.
Like what? What did you guys go over script-wise?
Well, there were times where you would get a copy of the script and the first draft, let's say I had a lot more dialogue, and then drafts would obviously change. And I would look at a script and think, oh, my part, you know, shortened. There's less here. And then he would tell me, actually, that first draft that you saw is where the writers want to go with the character. So keep that in mind. And I thought,
that's smart.
Okay. I look at scripts that way now. If I'm in a series and they change it, and I think that's where the writers want to go. And for every reason, maybe they can't put that on the page right now. So yeah.
It's so great actually getting to meet you and see you in person, because you're obviously you're an actor and you're supposed to encompass other characters, but you're like nothing like Little Wolf.
I know. It was so it's so encouraging, because you know, both Boz and Catherine came up to me, and sometimes you don't know if you make an effect, because I'm going in and out. I'm in about half of the series, but you know, I have a scene here, a scene there, and I think once you see it all come together, so you don't know if you're making an effect on people, because there's a lot more production, there's a lot more leads to sort of concentrate on. And then for them to pull me aside and say, you are just fantastic. What you're bringing to this character is fantastic. And I think, really? I had no clue. Thank you so much. You know, she's like, you're so intimidating. I said, really? So it's really great to, you know, I come from a theatrical background. So I want to be as versatile as I possibly can. And you can only do that with roles like this.
Yeah,
well, you did great with the sneak tip when you guys were trying to get my lady. How fun was that? Was it as easy as it looked? Because you made it look seamless.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't as easy for me, because I was sort of cast later, and so the dance team and Yaya, that entire scene, they were rehearsing, I think maybe weeks or a couple of months before, and I actually came down pretty close to the time we were actually going to start shooting that scene. And so I had to learn it, everything in the matter of hours.
Wow.
And so, I'm a dancer, sort of a mover, but choreography is a little bit more difficult for me to pick up. And so the choreographers were really gracious to me, and the dance team was very, very gracious and patient with me. And I finally got it the day of. And then you improv and you have fun. I'm dancing with Stephanie, who plays Yolanda, and Regina, my girl, and Mylene, you know, Horizon. So they were very, very nice to me, and I finally got as much as I could.
Well, you nailed it.
I would say you would never have been able to tell.
Oh, that's, well, that's
seriously.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
really
great. That's the magic of film, y'all. They edit that shit so you don't see nothing.
They did good. That was my favorite. I was like, oh, there it is.
It's so wonderful.
So I guess we should go into Malibu next, who was such a great character. Malibu's arrival at the club to going inside to his rap duel with Zeke was just so perfect. I really liked his very old school hip hop, like old man, no nonsense kind of approach. They like, I'll play games. I see you, kid. I know when I'm being hustled. When he calls out the accent, I was done. I loved that. I didn't know
he said that, because I was on set when that scene was being filmed, but I was elsewhere. And you know, and it's Billy Porter. It's Billy Porter, and we actually got to be close on set and talk like great friends. He was actually going to play Little Richard in a movie and things like that.
Yeah, we
talked about civil rights, the civil rights movement, and there's a fantastic civil rights leader called Bayard Rustin that was openly gay, but not to the world, sort of just in his circle. And I think he talked about doing something along the lines of his
Studios
story. So
pick that up because I will see it.
Hopefully I'm not like releasing stuff I shouldn't be saying.
But we'll anyway. Support it. Whoever's doing it, we're here to support that. That sounds amazing. He's
was
perfect.
So wonderful. I had to go up to him and say, you know, he's a proud gay black man and so am I. And I said, what you do for me is very, very important. I just adore him.
He was great. He was great. I liked the Lynx. I swear it was a Lynx coat when he walked out in the Lynx coat. I was like, oh, I got that coat. It was my grandmother's. It was my grandmother's.
Your grandma's coat.
It was, but I noticed it. I was like, that's Lynx. I was like, that's Lynx. I love it. I love it. It was so good. It was so good. I was upset he got killed.
I was so fast. So quickly.
So much buildup. No, but and then he was gone.
His outfit, though, it was like the little vest with his stomach hanging out at the bottom. I thought that was pretty.
And then I was talking to Yaya. I was just like, you think I'm going to die by the end? You think I'm going to go? Because I want the money. I want to be in it, you know? You're just, now you know, you don't know with television. And they, you know, they want to make interesting plot lines. So they'll kill a lead. You're like, oh, good.
Yeah.
You know how you're going to last.
You have a heart attack every time you get a script.
Every time I'm like,
please have this speech.
I'm serious. That's how I was every single time. I thought, oh, no, this is the episode because I'm shooting guns and this is it. And I'm, you know, I'm dispensable. They don't care about me. Man. No, I'm joking.
We have to backtrack a little bit, I guess, to Fat Annie, who is one of my, like, the craziest, most out of left field characters I think we've had on TV in a really long time. She is so funny, so crass. But of course, the moment I think everyone is going to be talking about is that kiss with Shaolin. Which girl? How did that
Harold and Maude.
Yeah. How did that hit you guys? How did you read that scene?
I think it did really good. Like, I think that's perfect. Any type of, like, kingpin, drug lord, especially female, that's how they roll. Especially when she was like, I knew as soon as I saw him doing, like, nickel things on the streets that he would be,
it
like,
my
thing.
It was a very macho drug lord kind of thing
I thought it was
to
amazing.
Do in that moment.
It
was
perfect.
Honest to the character. Yeah,
it was great. I love that it was a woman. Like, I don't know if that was super accurate to the time, but I love that the person on top was a woman. I thought that was a very awesome choice.
And she's like, trying to usurp the top, like, the, I cannot remember his name. He was a major, 80s drug lord kingpin.
Nikki?
Mm-hmm. And he did the Times cover, which at the time was totally scandalous and stuff. And she was like, no, I've got his number. She's like, just give me a little bit. I'm taking over his whole dope business. I wish her luck. I'm glad she made it out alive. She's very interesting.
She helped grab that gun. And she knows what she's doing. Right. She's getting out of there.
And as scary as Cadillac can kind of be, he's very kind of like an intimidating personality. It's clear she's got him in check. So it'll be interesting to see if they come to blows, if there's some kind of turmoil there later.
I was curious if they had something to do with it, the shooting, because I felt that, like, Big Wolf, your cousin, they were looking at each
other.
He's my brother. Oh, the brother?
Big Wolf.
I was like, I saw them looking at each other, and the fact that Cadillac went upstairs and he came back down, I was like, huh. Mm. I was like, are they in on this?
At the table earlier in the scene, there's definitely, she's mentioning all the stuff she's planning to do. He's definitely just kind of very reserved and like, okay, I hear what you're planning. It doesn't sound like some compilation. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm skeptical at this point who's on whose side. It doesn't seem like anyone is really safe. Even the boys, as close as they are, it seems very easy for something, some kind of bomb to drop in between them and tear them apart. I hope not. They're so cute.
Oh, no, Shaolin and Zeke, no, they're soulmates.
Okay,
no, they're soulmates.
So let's move on to Shaolin. Because first of all, the Japanese influence on this show is great because it's definitely had an influence in especially urban black culture from anime to music to rap. I really like the way they shoot Shaolin's early scenes as we're learning about the legend from our kind of like Greek tragedy narrator at the beginning, the older Zeke, introducing Shaolin as this kind of great guy who never makes a mistake or anything. And of course, as the episode goes on, we see very quickly that he's just a kid trying to survive everybody else. He's also down on his luck. He lives in an apartment where he's kind of rigged the electricity and it's a little dangerous. And luckily the city has left the water running. What did you guys think of Shaolin's intro and then the development of his character?
So first of all, every close-up of his face, I saw Tupac. Like, I literally,
really? Okay.
I am a huge, like, Tupac fan. I can rap, like, every lyric that he has.
Yes.
And every time they close-upped on his face, I got chills. especially when him and Zeke met for the first time, when he dropped the record. I thought that was amazing. You just knew they were soulmates. You knew that was a serendipitous moment. So I thought that was great, how slick he was. And those Pumas, I'm sure Puma's popping off now. If they were making money, they're worth a lot now, Puma. What's up? And then I like the grasshopper when Grandmaster Flash was like, oh, young grasshopper. I was like, oh, it's a grasshopper thing.
You know, I love how every time he left, he like jumped like this. Yeah. That was such a funny little touch.
Yeah. But you're allowed to laugh at it because there's a scene sort of later when he has with Ezekiel before he tries to get Ezekiel into the club.
Yes.
He does this long, really hysterical choreography. You know, and you're just like, oh, I can laugh at this.
Well, I like that the boys see immediately through all of his BS. Like when they meet him, they're like, no, not you. Yeah. His slide down the rock where he sprayed paint, like, isn't that the epitome of cool little boys? Like, come on, give him a little bit of props. But they were not feeling it. They were like, I can't even believe this is the dude we've been worshiping and following around. And
but
like,
then they loved him afterwards. Yes, they did love him afterwards.
Yes. It kind of surprised me how I mean, in the beginning, he seemed so much like a lone wolf. Like, I didn't see him getting along with the guys so well and then just welcoming them in. And now he's on this team. And I thought that was a really interesting development of his character within the first episode.
Yes, Steve Russo, Grandmaster Flash said, you always roll alone. You're well-liked, but you're always alone. When I heard that in that episode, it almost like literally reminded me of myself. I was like, it kept hitting me. I'm just like, when am I going to find my wolf pack? Like, because you can't do it alone. DIY world, no. Okay, you have to have somebody with you.
You're fantastic four plus one.
Yeah, and like he found his wordsmith, you know, and that was the objective. That was just so great.
And we'll
so
see throughout the series, you know, we're going to break down his facade.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, he looked at the end when he was like, we're going to take over the world, when Zeke said that to him. You saw his face. Like, he wanted so bad to believe that that was his homie now. Like, this was his team. And I felt that. Like, every time I got chills when they were together. It was great.
They were super sweet. And I like that the show made it kind of feel like a fable in how they met. Like, he needs the album, but Zeke's got the album. But Zeke's all you're like, Zeke can rap? You guys gotta get together. You're like watching it, and it just feels destined the whole time, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, Grandmaster Flash won't work with him, won't teach him how to be a DJ until he finds his wordsmith. And I won't jump to the end.
You gotta find your crew. find your crew.
Well, we talked about one party scene, and they leave that party. Oh, okay, wait. That party gets blown to bits. We have a very Godfather-like style in this moment, which I thought was very cinematic and a lot of fun as they're, like, blowing up the cake and things are flying everywhere.
How did I get out of there? I didn't know until I got, you know, all I had was episode one. So I thought, I'm going to get a call when I go home and say, oh, you got shot, so you're done. So I don't know. I had a gun and I shot, you know,
you
who I needed to, supposedly. And you don't see me for a few more episodes, and it's like, oh, he's alive.
Thank God.
So, yeah. I don't know how I got out of there, but I guess I'll make it up myself for future interviews. You know what I mean?
It was a really great escape story. So, the kids get out, and then we have what is just the best and most heartbreaking Romeo and Juliet as scene between Yolanda and Zeke, where he finally, without, like, any BS, is like, I just love you. My whole heart, like, I wish I'd be half as smooth as this kid as I'm confessing love to people where I'm just like, and feelings and things. And he's, like, got all these beautiful, beautiful words. And she is just like, I really liked her music.
Yeah.
Well, no, I liked the way Mylene was like, look, you're not a man. Like, I have plans. I'm going to get out of here. And what I can't have is somebody who doesn't have the courage to read his own work in front of people. I don't have the time for that. And it's soul-crushing, but at the same time, this whole time I kept being worried for Mylene. I was like, oh no, in the club, she's going to get duped by these older men. But no, she was totally fine. Like, how is she going to stand up to her father? But no, she was like, you're not going to hit me. I'm going to leave. I'm fine. And then, like, even with Zeke, I want them to be together. They're very cute. But even she's still just so confident. I'm so happy that we have her.
Mm-hmm.
But this scene crushed me a little bit.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. Zeke with his, like, when he starts speaking, it's how he gets through any situation is his words. And him doing that at the best of his ability, and his words are beautiful. And it's just not landing now.
It was so hard to watch.
Yeah, see, I think she's in love with him. I think she wants to be with him. She wants to be with him. She thinks that he'll keep her there. And I think he did a really good job. Like, cried. He would cry. Like, he immediately, you could see it. And even, again, his voice would crack. And he'd be like, you know, I'm not cocky, but that face is the face of someone who likes me. And I was just like, yes, yes.
You got it, son. It's so close.
It's amazing. Like, I love how strong she is, too. Mm-hmm, I mean, because it's tough in this industry. Like, before I I'm a coach now, I don't do TV, but six producers, they were like, what are you going to give me? Literally, this was in the last 8 years. I was like, nothing. And I walked out. That is real. So to see her like that was amazing. And then also to see his love. Like, I hope that inspires people out there to love that hard.
Yes.
Like, that's what a muse is. That's what life is about. When you love that hard, you keep going. He kept going after that record. Just like Shaolin was like, your ass was out there when Malibu was dead, still trying to get the record.
That was great. The last record he ever played. Bitch ass crying about a bitch. I was like, okay, he's a fun kid, man. But even the crying afterwards on the rock, where it was just such a 15, 16-year-old moment. Like, I like the giant swings this show takes between, you know, being beyond your age when you have to be tough and survive in that kind of environment, to being that age and just being a kid. Like, when he's crying off that rock, I was like, I've seen 15-year-old boys do this before. Mm-hmm. My heart is just broken and I don't know what to do.
Can you tell us anything about the shooting at Les Inferno? My heart was shot out. I was like, really? Really? That was so great. I love that.
And from there, we get this amazing when Shaolin learns that they don't know who Grandmaster Flash is and they don't know what a get down is. He's like, but you're a natural wordsmith and you have to come. And then we get this party, which is the second party. It's a very, very long scene again, but it is amazing.
It looked so fun. Like, I just wanted to get up and I was dancing. And
I was like, I would go to that party right now.
I'd be there.
Like, here's an address. I'd be like, of course I'm going to be there. We get to see all these really great performances from Cowboy, mm-hmm. and Grandmaster Flash is on the decks, and we get the explanation of how DJing is invented and where it comes from. And then we get to see Zeke in action. He finally has to build up the courage. What did you guys think of his first attempt?
Oh, I was nervous. My hands were sweating. It was just hard to watch. I don't know.
I figured he was going to mess up the first time. I definitely thought, I was very intrigued, because as soon as they called him like disco versus what, because it was different. It was, what shocked me was how different the disco, like when you guys were in the club, Les Inferno, versus this type of underground party. I thought they did a great job of personifying both of those things. And I thought it was cool that in his first time, he did mess up, so it led us into, again, that karmic connection between those two, what it led to him shining. So I thought that was cool.
And the introduction of freestyling, you know what I mean? Sort of the start of that, and how much courage that takes, and how much smarts that takes. You know, you have to really think on your feet and really look at the situations around you and sort of be inspired by everything.
Well, and then dig on the whole audience, because they were fast to turn on him. Like, it was, he had like two bars out, and they were like, this fool is not true. He is a lie, and he needs to leave. And I thought it was great how Shaolin decided to, like, kind of divide the attentions. He's like, let me just break dance in the middle of here and show them what's up.
And that's how he got back at them, right? Like, that was his way of, like, if almost it was like a battle of rapping, instead he did the break dance, which coincidentally remind me of this day and age house and trance shuffle. Like, in certain, like, there's a song, Is It Love? It's a house song. But, like, when he was dancing, I was like, oh, this was the start of the shuffle, which we do now in house when we listen to house, when we listen to trance. I was like,
I'm really learning so much from you. I'm like, I'm in the damn thing. And I'm like, what? Wow.
Yay.
Exceptional over here. Exceptional.
Thank you. Of course. But also, when they did the description of how, like, Grandmaster Flash did his music with the two records as well, same thing. In house music, it's all beat. When you drop the beat, it's in the instrumental. So when they described that here, I was like, oh, I was like, so good. We repeated it again.
History.
We got it from hip hop.
I love the building of history. And then, of course, Zeke decides, like he's like, I'm going to jump in on this. Like, he gets his confidence back. He joins in. He kills it. He slays the other team. He's like, no, I'm king. And then we get the forming of the Fantastic Four plus one on the roof after we see the mega disc collection. And they're friends now, and they're buddies, and I'm really excited about this bond. I'm loving Boo Boo, Dizzy, and Rara's family, their mom and their dad. When the dad comes in playing the sax, I was like, you guys are so cute.
So cool. I mean, it showed how they appreciate music in all forms. Like,
Right. Definitely. You get a feel of, like, the dad was probably active in the Harlem Renaissance, kind of, like, history research and stuff, and that he's bringing that to his kids. I like, my grandfather owns a barber shop and has that same old world mentality of, like, when the kids are like, I'll be late. He's like, you're late because you have to start your chores on time. I don't have time for this. So I'm like, Grandpa, I totally see this.
Yeah.
So the whole family aspects, I really, really like this pilot. I thought it was great. I know we're running a little bit close on time, so I want to get to predictions really quick. Okay, so we're just going to keep... No draft for predictions. So, you guys tell me, what do you guys think is going to happen next week?
I think the costumes are going to stay fly because those costumes are on fleet. So I think it's just going to stay authentic. I think we're going to see Shallon and Zeke get closer and hopefully more of Little Wolf.
I know. You'll see more of Little Wolf in the second half of the series. So that's coming out next year. I'm not sure exactly what time it will be, but... Yeah.
And we have the first 6 episodes are out now, but it's a 12-episode series order. It's
exactly.
Will we see you at all in the first half of the season?
The first half of the second season?
This season.
Yeah, I'm in the first one. I'm in the 4th one, and I might be in the 6th one.
Cool.
Yeah, I have a pivotal scene I predict
we're going to see him in the 4th and 6th.
Oh, yeah, I just gave it away. I ain't doing no more predictions. No more.
How about you? What do you think we're going to see next?
I'm excited to see what happens with Mylene and her music. And I'm also curious to see what happens with her and Zeke, because I think there's going to be even more tension between them, and they're going to fight even more before eventually they hopefully come back together. Yeah. So we'll see.
I have a toss between Dizzy and Yolanda are my 2 favorite characters, and I really feel like Dizzy got all the paint from Shaolin at the beginning, and I'm hoping that we get more cool train stuff. I really like the inclusion of graffiti in this as part of the culture and the startup, and especially the idea of things not being permanent, but feeling... like you've taken part in something and that you've created something. I think that's very cool and very hip-hop to be like, this may not even last. Like, this performance might just be for tonight. It's freestyle. It's off the head. I'm not supposed to memorize it. Neither are you. It's very just for right now. Mm-hmm. And I like that we're getting to experience that across different types of art forms. So I'm really excited to see what happens next. Do you guys have any more questions you want to ask our guest?
Can we keep talking after this?
Sure. Are we friends now? Yeah. We'll exchange Facebooks. That's the new number now.
Okay, good. Yes.
I think some guy liked me, and he was just like, let's swap Facebooks. I'm like, is that the new number? Are you not interested? I don't know.
So, tell us what else we can be looking out for you in.
Oh, hopefully there's a second season of Zoe Ever After, which is going to be on
BET.
Yeah.
Exciting.
So exciting.
And right now, I'm just continuously auditioning and looking for the next great thing, you know what I mean? So it's always a challenge and a hustle, and to have both of these roles come out so far, it's just, I'm so grateful for the opportunity.
So. You're very talented.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. All right, guys, tell our guests where they can find you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Twitter, Instagram. Is there another one?
Facebook.
Tori Devon Smith. Just look that up.
Yes, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Heather Yared.
All social media at Sheldon White 2.
Hi, guys. I've been your host. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me everywhere at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com, reviewing movies, talking to stars, all the kinds of stuff. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Get Down on Black Hollywood Live. We can't wait to see you next week. Remember to comment, like us on iTunes, on the YouTube. We're everywhere. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great night.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.